Well, yeah. So, to give you an update where we are right now. Yesterday, as you know, as I'm recording this portion right now, this is Tuesday. This is the day after, of course, the Monday night game between the Broncos and the Bills. We'll get to that in a second. I recorded a bunch of stuff about what happened on Sunday. And I don't know what happened, and I don't know where the file is, but the host has really screwed up here, and I've totally lost it. Now, I'm going to try to add this on or put it into the file if I can find it, but I highly doubt it. And I apologize, there's no beginning a music of the show. There's no excitement as the host comes on and says, "Welcome to the show!" because I can't find the beginning file of where to put this. And this sometimes this software is so screwy that I can't paste two shows together. I wish I could, but I just can't. I probably can. I just not smart enough to figure it out. But I'll talk about the Buffalo game last night against the Denver Broncos. And of course, we know what's all in store after this. The host top 10 teams in a week. But let's just get to the game last night. And I know a lot of people want me to rip on the Bills right now. And I know a lot of Bills fans don't want me to rip on them. So I'm just going to talk about the game. And I told you guys back in March. Just throwing it out there. Go back and listen to my shows in March. I told you that this Bills window team, the window was closing, was still a little open, but finally last night, shut. Solid. And the panic that has set in Buffalo, they fired their offensive coordinator, Ken Dorsey. So he's fired, and he's the excuse why the team isn't doing well. He's throwing those horrible passes last night by Josh Allen. I know one was tipped. What are you going to do? But you got to catch that. The other one was a bad throw. The fumble when he was trying to hand off to James Cook. That's Ken Dorsey's fault. What's funny is that Sean McDermott fails to recognize some stuff as he, goes through his coaching and stuff. In 2021 season, and Bills fans, you can look this up. They went through a slump offensively. They were 2-4, averaged 22 points a game, averaged only 359 yards a game, and they had 13 giveaways. 13 turnovers in 2021, and Sean McDermott did fire Brian Daboll. Now we go to 2023. They're in a 2-4 slump, averaging 20.5 points a game, 356.2 total yards, and 13 giveaways, 13 turnovers. But Ken Dorsey gets fired. Yep, that's gonna solve the problem of Josh Allen being reckless. Remember, the host was on here saying Josh Allen was reckless. And boy, oh boy. Here's another stat for you Bills fans. Again, I'm not here to rip on the Bills fans today. I could have played the Quint music. I could have played Farewell Spanish Lady. I already played that last week for you guys. But I just want to say one more time. There's a person who laughed in my face on the golf trip back in March when I told him the Bills were done. Laughed in my face. Well, who's getting the last laugh now? Now, I know I've been wrong about a lot of things, but I also been right about a lot of things. But I'm going to ride this one while it's still good. Hey, and they're 5-5. Miracles could happen, but I don't know what that schedule coming up. And just to give you another stat about the Bills. Since week 5, the Bills rank on first half drives. 32nd in turnovers. 30th in drives scoring points. 30th in number of plays. 28th in points. 24th in TDs. 23 per yards per drive. But that's Ken Dorsey's fault. Quarterback, you know, throw a ball all around the yard like he's playing backyard football. I don't know. A lot of fumbles, too. What do they? They dip the ball in chicken wing sauce before handing it out to the players? You know, the Bills get to use their own balls. What, they got them soaking in chicken wing sauce up there? I don't know what's going on. But, and then, by the way, is it Ken Dorsey's fault having 12 guys on the field to kick a field goal at the end of the game? That's Ken Dorsey's fault? That's a Sean McDermott attention to detail. They could have won the game. And pass interference, 50-50 call on that, if the refs want to call it. But it was pass interference. But usually they let that go at the end of games. Well, not in the case as you saw last night with the Bills. I don't know what Buffalo should do moving forward. I have a couple ideas, but I'm going to save them because I want to see how the season plays out. I have a couple scenarios that I think could work for the Bills, but I'm going to let that play out. And I want to say one more thing. This irritation of the Bills, this team that's put together, which is going to get dismantled now, this team that you're watching, they were done mentally when they lost that division game to the Chiefs. This team needed to be broken up after that game because there was no way they were going to win anything after that meltdown. It's the same thing to me, and I don't know how the rest of you Bills fans feel. It's the same thing to me as Scott Norwood missing the field goal in the Super Bowl. In the first Super Bowl they played against the Giants, he missed that field goal wide right. He makes that field goal. I believe this. Maybe I'm a dummy for believing this. I believe he makes that field goal. Obviously, they're going to win that Super Bowl against the Giants, but they probably win the three other ones that they were in. Maybe not both against the Dallas Cowboys, because that was a great Dallas Cowboy team, but maybe they could win one of those games because they would have had the confidence, and that team would have had the confidence. Yeah, they had the confidence to get back to four Super Bowls, to get back to three more after Norwood missing the first, but they would have had that swagger and that confidence around their team. Hey, we're Super Bowl champs. When you have that around your team and as around a franchise, that makes your team even more special and harder to beat. And I hate to say it, but I think if Norwood makes that field goal, they probably go on to win at least three of those four Super Bowls. And that's same with going back a few years ago when they lost to the Mahomes in Kansas City in that division game. They go on to win that game. Who knows? They could have won the Super Bowl. And who knows where they'd be right now as a franchise. But, you know, people know how hard it is to win in the NFL. You could say what you want about winning and losing and the Mahomes and teams that are always constantly winning. It's hard to win. And this proves that, you know, the way the ball bounces, the way games can change in the few seconds that happen, it just changes the course of your team as they move through the franchise. But to me, this irritation of this Bills team, done. You got to start over. Now, let's just move on to the Broncos real quick. I know a lot of people out there don't think Sean Payton's a great coach. They think he rode Drew Brees' coattails for many years. And he rode them to victory and got a lot of victories in hand. I'll just say this about Sean Payton. What do you think he's a great coach or he's a bad coach or he's just he just happened to fall into the right circumstance and get Drew Brees as a quarterback and happen to win all those games and happen to win a Super Bowl? I'll just say this about Sean Payton. He's won 156 NFL games plus 8 or 9 playoff games. When you win 156 NFL games, and again, going back to the whole Buffalo thing, you know how hard it is to win. When you win 156 games, you've got to know how to coach at some kind of level. And I'll tell you the one thing I notice that he's done with Russell Wilson. He got a hold of Russell Wilson. He tried in the first few weeks to let Russell Wilson do his thing. Let Russell throw the ball around. Let Russell Wilson try to make plays. And what was Russell Wilson doing? Throwing interceptions. He was fumbling. Wasn't making the right plays. Wasn't making the right decisions. So Sean Payton saw this. Reeled him in. And said, you know what? This is what we're going to do. You know, in the last 3 games, Russell Wilson thrown 29 passes, thrown 19 passes, threw 29 passes last night. They ran the ball 26 times. They ran the ball 40 times. They ran the ball 38 times. So Sean Payton has taken the ball out of Russell Wilson's hands, gone to the running game. And what's the running game do if it's working? Grinds out the clock. Makes the game go by quicker. Sets up play action pass for Russell Wilson. And keeps you in the games because you're taking the ball out of the guy who's turning the ball over. Something the Bills should try. Taking the ball out of a guy who's turning the ball over. And who knows what firing Ken Dorsey and bringing in Joe Brady is going to do. But, hey, you know, again, Ken Dorsey wasn't making those plays. But Sean Payton, can say what you want. Can say what you want about Sean Payton. Took Vance Joseph aside. Went back to doing what their playmakers and skilled players do on defense. They gave up 70 points to Miami. Now they're getting turnovers. They got 5 turnovers against the Chiefs. They got 4 turnovers against the Bills last night. Now Sean Payton's got this team going. They've won 3 games in a row. Maybe they'll get in the top 10. I don't know about that. But I'm not here saying Sean Payton is a great coach, top 10 coach all time. I'm just pointing out 156 wins. It does amount to something. That is it. Okay. All right. Before we get to the top 10, and we all know that's coming, I just want to point out one other thing that I heard today, and I don't even know if this is true. Allegedly, Bill Belichick knows he's going to get let go by New England and is already lined up to coach another team. And my goodness, come on. Are we really serious about this? We're really going to have Bill Belichick coach another team? Come on, that just sounds a little ridiculous to me. But that's the rumor floating around today. So we'll see how, if that it plays out or if that's true. But I doubt that. There's no way. If New England fires Bill Belichick, I don't know what team would want to bring him on seeing the results that he's had without having Tom Brady. That's just ridiculous to me. Oh, here we go! You know what that song means? It's time for the whole top 10 teams of the week! Now, usually we have a couple honorable mentions. Well, I only got one honorable mention this week. Houston Texans, an honorable mention. The way C.J. Stroud's playing, I'm going to keep an eye on this team because eventually they could get into the host top 10. But I'm going to leave them out for now. Now, Here we go, number 10, and you know it! You know it's coming, folks! Pittsburgh Steelers! At Cleveland, at Cincinnati, at home against Arizona in their next three games. Now, here we go. Number 28th in offense. Number 28th in defense. But they lead the league in turnovers. They lead the league in plus turnover differential. Say what you want about Kenny Pickett. Yeah, I know. And I'm not saying Kenny Pickett is great at all. Say what you want about him. He's not turning the ball over. Unlike some other quarterback we saw last night, Kenny Pickett has an interception since week four, 147 passes. He's keeping the team in the game. Now, Mike Tomlin has asked Kenny Pickett to do a little bit more here in the second half of the season, so we'll see what he gets. Pickett, 1,616 yards, 6 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Jaylen Warren, Najee Harris, 828 rushing yards, 5 touchdowns. They've combined for over 180 yards 2 weeks in a row. Pittsburgh is 6-3. They're at number 10. Number 9, Cleveland Browns. They're at home against the Steelers. At Denver, at the Rams. Number 17th in offense. Number 1 team in defense in the NFL. Deshaun Watson, been limited with injury. 1,115 yards, 7 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Jerome Ford, Kareem Hunt, 760 rushing yards, 8 touchdowns. They have 30 team sacks, led by Myles Garrett with 11. This guy probably going to be, I like it or not, as I know my man TJ Watt, this guy's going to be Defensive Player of the Year the way he's playing. There's no doubt in my mind they're going to give it to him if he keeps his pace up. Cleveland at number 9. Number 8. This team is dropped from the number 1 spot, and it is the Baltimore Ravens. At home Thursday night against Cincinnati. At San Diego, the Rams. Number 9 offense. And get this, Baltimore, number 2 defense. Despite that big comeback by Cleveland on Sunday. Lamar, 2,177 passing yards, 481 rushing yards. Edwards finally passes Lamar as the team rushing leader with 502. 39 team sacks. They have 3 guys with 5 or more sacks on this team. 31.47 time of possession average. 88 rushing first downs by this Baltimore team, and only allowing 55 rushing first downs by their opponents. They are number 8 at the host, top 10. Number 7, this team has been hot. They've won 5 in a row. Minnesota moving up a couple spots. At Denver, Chicago at home, at Oakland. Number 10 offense, number 13 defense. Dobbs, no interceptions. I know it's only been a game and a half, but since he's come over and learned the system, no interceptions for Josh Dobbs yet. Hockenson, Addison, and Justin Jefferson coming back. Could be this week. 1,855 receiving yards. Danielle Hunter, 11 sacks leading his defense. He's tied for the league with Myles Garrett. This Minnesota's team, they might have found a good coach here with Kevin O'Connell. Kirk Cousins went down. You all thought Minnesota was done. But this Kevin O'Connell got Josh Dobbs up to speed. Now they're on track. Going to be a tough game at Denver this week. Minnesota number 7. Number 6, we talked about them earlier in the show. Dallas Cowboys at Carolina. At home against Washington. At home against Seattle. Number 4, total offense in the league. Number 3, total defense in the league. Dak Prescott, 2,415 passing yards, 17 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. C.D. Lamb, 975 receiving yards, 339 of that after the catch, 42 first downs. 3 other receivers on this Dallas team with over 300 yards receiving. Dallas at number 6. Number 5, welcome back to the top 10, and not only because their defense, and that is the San Francisco 49ers. Tampa Bay at home, at Seattle, at Philadelphia. Number 3 offense, number 5 defense. McCaffrey, 747 rushing yards, 379 receiving yards, 13 total touchdowns, 64 first downs does McCaffrey have on the season. Ayuk, 675 receiving yards, 3 touchdowns. Of his catches, 33 of those for first downs. Hargrave and Bosa, 9 combined sacks. And don't forget, they got Chase Young now going to be added to that sack total. San Francisco, just on their defense alone, I moved them back up to number 5. Forget about Brock Purdy for now. But San Francisco comes in at number 5, number 4. This team didn't even play. I moved them up a couple spots because I think this offense, whether, you know, they stall against the good teams, but they have chances to redeem themselves here in these next 3 weeks. Miami Dolphins, number 4. Oakland at home at the Jets on Black Friday. And Washington, number 1 offense in the league. Number 12 defense. 4,000 total offensive yards on the season. 1,000 more than their opponents. Tyreek Hill, 50 first downs when receiving the ball. Bradley Chubb and Wilson, 10 and a half sacks on the defensive side. Miami at number 4. Number 3, Kansas City. At home, Monday night in the big game against Philadelphia. At Oakland, at Green Bay, number 8 offense. Number 4 defense. The Mahomes, 2,442 passing yards, 17 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Dawa and Jones, 11 sacks together. Third down percentage, when they need a first down, 45%, they get a first down on third down. They come in at number 3. Number 2, this team moving all the way up to number 2 with their big victory on Sunday, the Detroit Lions. At home against Chicago, at home against Green Bay, at New Orleans. Number 2 offense in the league. Number 9 defense in the league. Goff, 2,507 passing yards, 14 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Gibbs in Montgomery, 977 rushing yards, a go along with 11 touchdowns. Here's one thing, though, that I don't like about the Lions. They lack getting to the QB. And you're going to need to get to the QB come playoff time. I thought Aiden Hutchinson would take a bigger step than he has in his second year. He just hasn't, with only 4.5 sacks. Team combined, the Lions only have 21 sacks. They're still a number 2 on the host top 10 and our new number 1. We'll know if the jinx works against Kansas City on Monday night. And there's the Philadelphia Eagles at Kansas City. Buffalo at home. San Francisco at home, number 5 offense, number 14 defense. Jalen Hurts, 2,347 passing yards, 316 rushing yards, 22 total touchdowns on the season for Jalen Hurts. A.J. Brown, 1,005 receiving yards. The Philadelphia Eagles have 83 rushing first downs, and their opponents against their defense only have 33. They have 1,167 rushing yards as a team, and they're only giving up 597 rushing yards on defense. That is makes Philadelphia the host number 1 team and the host top 10 teams of the week! Woo! Who's that? What a top 10! I kill myself every week, and just think, I have to go back upstairs and get on some phone calls. I don't know if I can be able to speak after doing this sometimes, but I love doing it for you guys. Oh, my gosh. All right. I'm sorry. I might have to post both these shows up together, and you might have to download both of them. So we'll see how this plays out, see if I get this to work. But again, as always, appreciate all my listeners. Appreciate all the downloads. Over 300 some downloads a show. You guys are great. Appreciate it. Love it. You know where to get the show. That's, of course, on my Twitter. That's the host at SteelDF72. Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Podcast Act, and, of course, Amazon Music. Don't forget, it's nice to be important, but more important to be nice. I'll leave you with this band today. This band is called Diviner, and this is Heaven Falls.
I came through fire and water, climbed to the mountain top. Hey!
ocean of lifetime's raging waves, been lost in dungeons, left in caves. I thought I would surrender to wings, to storm and rain, carried away to my domain.